Hey everybody, this is Darren Patterson, this is Electric Nonsense. I'm here with Julie Katakis, my lovely partner in comedy crime. And we're shooting here, we're filming?
Recording. That's yeah, what nothing's you do. Being filmed.
That's what you do when you don't have a camera, you record.
Yeah.
So we're recording here in beautiful Briarwood, Queens. And yeah, this is the start of the podcast. Basically, it's just me and Julie, and we'll have guests on, and we'll just be talking about comedy and our musings and our lives, and it'll be funny. I promise it won't be dull and boring, and it'll be hilarious and things. Sorry.
And there will be some Atari.
Somebody's. I can almost guarantee you somebody's phone will go off at some point in time.
At some point.
So yeah, so basically about us. What? Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. My phone's off. So I'm vibrate. I'm good. I'm a pro. I'm a goddamn pro.
I always have my phone on vibrate.
Oh.
No, I mean, I really do. I rarely take it off vibrate.
Oh, okay.
For the times that I forget.
Okay, I was just sexy.
God damn, every time.
I apologize. You know, that was me. I'm wrong on that one. I'm sicko.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you could have fought me a little on that. You didn't have to automatically agree.
I don't fight battles that can't be won. There we go. That was stupid.
Improv, people.
Yes, this is a good
just riffing off the top.
That was it right there.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about ourselves a little bit. You go first and tell the good people out there about yourself.
Okay. My name is Julie Katakis. Julie Katakis. So I perform. I dabble. I bathe in it.
Oh, Lord. What are you about to say?
Stand up.
Comedy. Oh.
Because I was thinking dabble. I think I bathe in it more than... I mean, maybe I shower in it. I don't know that I bathe in it. But anyway,
You smother yourself in it.
I want to smother myself in it.
A fine coat.
I want to, but I don't always have time to smother.
Okay.
Well, anyway, so I
you got to make the smother time.
I try. Yeah.
That's some other time. How about that? I made a funny.
My time. It's my time now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're talking.
Okay.
So anyway, yeah, I do the stand up by night.
Yeah. You look at me for confirmation. Yes, you do.
Okay. It is the night.
It is.
Sometimes early evenings. And then by day, I do practice the law. And I always have my arms by my side.
I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry if I'm giggling a lot.
You're giggling.
I swear I'm not.
You're very excited to be here.
Yes.
That's great.
I am.
But anyway, yeah, I do practice a lot. I practice it. I just try to figure it out by day.
Okay.
That's what I do.
Just trying to figure it all out.
Yeah, and I live in Brooklyn. I'm a Brooklynerite. Brooklynite. And
Brooklynese.
And I'm a carer of dependents, many of them.
Oh, okay. Oh, yes, because you have a lovely child.
A child.
And a dog.
And a dog.
And a cat.
And a cat.
Wow. You are just a modern woman.
Scooping the poop. Oh, there's always the poop to be scooped.
If it's not the cats, not the dogs, not the babies.
It's somebody's poop.
Right.
So.
Sometimes it's yours.
No.
No? Oh.
Never.
I thought we were all in agreement on that. I'm sorry.
Okay. No, I don't do my own.
So that's just me.
Somebody else takes care of that. Anyway.
I have a poop person.
I hire a weekly poop person.
Yeah. Belinda, come scoop up the feces, please.
Belinda.
I imagine her as a Belinda.
You're so PC.
I tried. I was going to think, say a Spanish name, but I was like, you know what? No.
Guadalupe?
No. Or Rosa or Rosalita.
Maria.
But I was like, no, this is 2013. Fuck that noise. We're going to go to say Belinda. Keep it nice and vague.
For you.
You know.
I want to be like you one day. I want to be up there where you are. One day.
You'll get there, kid.
Right now, still lots of racist thoughts. Plaguing my mind.
I wasn't such a raging racist.
That's why I don't talk that much. So I'm always trying not to say the wrong thing.
I hear you.
This is what I do.
Oh.
I try. At least I try.
Jules. Good time. And you're from York, Pennsylvania.
Originally,
which I found out is neither near Philadelphia nor Pittsburgh, but actually closer to Baltimore, which is also a city.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that far from Philly. It's like an hour and a half, 2 hours.
That's kind of far.
But I wouldn't call it like a suburb of Philly.
That's kind of far. It's like from here to, like from New York to Philly is 2 hours.
Yeah, fine, it is.
Yeah. Whoa, where'd that come from? Easy. We're on the same team here, friend.
All right.
All right there, fella.
Don't get me in a geographical debate with you.
Okay. Well, how far is York from Baltimore?
An hour.
That's way closer. What are you talking about?
It is. Yes, it is closer.
All right.
I didn't say it wasn't.
Well,
I spent a lot of time there when I was a kid.
At the beach on the shore, the Baltimore shore. Doesn't slinging crack rock with the.
It's a harbor, but doesn't have like.
Oh, it doesn't.
Beach time.
I haven't been to Baltimore in a very long time, so I don't.
Obviously.
I do not know much about it.
You don't even know where it is.
I just went to an Orioles game. I saw that like five blocks away was like the wire danger zone. I got a little scared and I went.
And you ran home.
I got back in the car and head on back
and locked
home.
The doors.
Yes, I locked the doors immediately.
You're like, there will be no tweaking here.
I cradled myself and cried in the fetal position, just waiting for sunrise. So I knew nothing would harm me.
Oh, you know? That's really.
I'm pretty sure I saw a guy look like Stringer Bell walk down the street. And I just hit it.
You would run from. No one else would run from Stringer.
No.
It's a good looking guy.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I see what you're saying. I'm thinking the danger aspect. You're thinking the sexual aspect of it, as it were.
Oh, I was thinking the intellectual.
Intellectual.
Aspect of it.
Okay, yeah, there's that too.
No, I wasn't. Okay.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's me. That's all there is to it.
I love the way you ended. It's just,
that's it.
Just blah.
Blah.
Okay. All right, so a little bit about me. I'm from Queens, New York. I've been doing stand-up for, I guess like 2 years or so.
Huh.
What? Whoa, where'd that come from?
It's just a huh. All
right. Judgy. So I'm starting this podcast, which is sort of an offshoot off a blog I started about a year ago, also called Electric Nuts.
I.
What?
There's a lot of I's and I. My.
Well, you said I a lot, too.
I didn't say anything.
I feel like you did.
I didn't put I in reference to this podcast, though.
I feel like.
Oh, my blog. I started
it. Well, I
it.
Did start a blog. It's a good thing to start.
I didn't do any plugs. Look, you're plugging
well,
already?
No, I'm saying, look, I'm just saying there. This is where the podcasts
up.
Come from.
Okay.
Like, from the blog that I, you know, I just
all
happened to start
I
and I wrote and everybody loved it and it was amazing. That's
I don't even
I'm
know
saying.
It.
Oh, you do. Yeah. You know it if you saw it.
One of those.
Yeah, it's an amazing.
No, it's a blog. It's a great blog. Everyone
Thank
should read
Thank
it.
Thank everybody should read it as soon as I do another post, which I haven't done in like a month or two. Good. But when I do, it'll.
You're dedicated. It's
yes.
great.
Yes, I'm dedicated in the way that I write something when I can or remember to.
Not so, laying around.
Yeah, when I'm not
watching TV or playing words.
When I'm
with
not
friends.
Scratching my behind. Eating, fiddle faddle, and watching reruns of Arrested Development. I am on the blog tirelessly.
Tirelessly.
Maybe a few
It would be tirelessly because you probably have a lot of energy because you're not doing much.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good use of that word.
Thank you. See, words. Words are good.
Words are words.
So yeah, so I do the blog and I'm doing the podcast now. Mm-hmm. I have a lovely wife and we live out in New Jersey. And I do comedy out there. And
do you notice that your voice goes out? I have a lovely wife. I'm a living in Jersey.
That's how I always talk.
No,
I think it
just
is.
Just when in reference to your wife.
Well, she deserves a higher voice in a higher octave. Ah.
Sweet.
That's for you, baby. I love you, girl. One love, boo.
Wow.
You like that? You like how I seamlessly just slid right into my Michael. From Boys to Men voice.
That
like,
was good.
I love you, girl. One love, baby.
Mm-hmm.
I got skills.
Okay, move on.
Skills. So, yeah. So, we live out in Jersey. And I do show that in Jersey. And, And that's it. We're just like two comics. Just making our bones in the world. And doing the
making
podcast.
Making our bones.
I know. That's
what they say.
That they do say that, right?
They like, say that. They do.
They.
The people.
Yeah, the people.
The wise people that say things say they're making their bones.
They make. I feel like that's been said. I'm sure, like the in the comics world and other world, like, crime world or wherever, they say, "Oh, making your bones, kid," and like,
like in a dog as park we're, or something. I don't know.
as you're climbing the ranks, you know.
Yeah.
Like we're making our bones and it's worth it. Just doing what we can.
No, it makes sense.
It does.
So where? Tell us where you're from.
I said that.
You did?
See, if you were listening.
I wasn't.
You might have picked up
I
on
tuned
that.
Out when you started talking about yourself. Everybody did you say does. You're from
Queens? Yes, I did. Queens,
did you
New
say
York.
Where?
Jamaica, Queens, New York.
That's
which is
the part
like,
I missed.
I didn't. Well, I didn't say Jamaica. I said Queens.
See, that's what I was. Looking. I was looking for. A
I don't remember. I kind of wasn't listening to myself when I talked to you. So.
Okay.
That's both. There's both of
did
us.
Did you? Can you tell us about your wife?
Yes, I can. She.
No.
From the Bronx, and she's. She has a cousin named Dee Dee.
Oh.
Oh, what?
Nothing.
What?
Nothing.
What happened?
Nothing.
What? All right.
Okay.
But yeah, so that's us. We've been married for coming up on 3 years now, and we don't have a kid. It's one of those things where like a lot of our friends have had children. As
I have myself. One.
You yes, you got what? Yeah,
I did that.
You did that. You did mm-hmm. the kid thing.
I did.
It's a good way to go.
Thank you.
Cool. So yeah, so we've been thinking about having a kid, and we're you know on the fence about it, and it will happen. It's just you know just it's a matter of every you know stuff. I mean, I always feel like with kids, I'm very articulate. John, our producer, is laughing at me. I feel like with kids, it's I guess like the one thing that I'm worried about is like money. As someone with a child, like I can, it's money like kids cost money. You need that.
You need it. I mean, there are things that cost money.
Okay, but I mean, like if you, all right. I don't have money.
Right.
But
right.
Babies
I didn't know that.
Do cost money.
Yeah.
So, if I have a kid. How will I get the money to
government.
Have a kid?
No.
Government.
One option.
Recycle bottles?
Okay. You could work.
Okay, I do work, but my job
You
is...
have this successful podcast. Or no, and blog.
I do have... here's the thing about
the really
blog.
Raving
it's
about
not,
the blog.
The blog...
It was a tireless effort on your part that's just... Really been blowing. Didn't you say that everybody? What did you say? You really?
I don't listen to
gave it accolades, I believe.
I really did. It's the blog is pretty. It's pretty big.
It's a big deal.
We got like 30 followers. So
wow.
Yeah, damn great. So
that's.
I didn't mean to brag, but yeah. I have a fourth grade classroom full of followers.
That's amazing.
About 30 or so. Yeah. Like two basketball teams.
So what are you worried about? What I think this kid thing, you know, everybody says, oh, it's not the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, you know, no time is the right time for a kid.
Yeah.
So what's really stopping you? You're scared.
Yeah, I guess a little bit.
You're scared.
Well, yeah, maybe a little because, you know, they got to pay attention and you got
to. You have to care for something other than yourself, dude.
That is
to make time.
But then, like, they cry and you got to run after them and your whole life is uprooted from it, and it's I can't read that. I'm sorry. I was handed a note, and it's in.
And Darren can't read very well.
I can't. Yeah. That's another reason why
pictures.
I don't have a kid because I can't read.
Pictures are helpful. Well, you would do well with their early stages of reading. You can learn together.
Okay. Now, what does this say? Apple. Thank you, son. I did not know what that said. Yeah. So how's you got a kid? How's that going?
I don't know. She seems okay. I like her.
You like her okay?
She's okay with me. No, we're doing well. You know, we're living our lives separately.
You're both alive. Cool. Yeah. I mean, it was. I mean, I don't have any kids, and I guess you. I probably have the same fears that you may have had when you first. I had your kid, like, you know, how am I going to take care of it? I'm sort of just learning how to take care of myself, or I'm still...
No.
Well, maybe
I didn't
that last
say
part
that.
That
no.
last part with me was... All right, yeah. That was more me. I'll
yeah.
that. But, like, you know, I don't... How do I... I don't... No one knows how to... Like, no one ever knows how to take care of a kid until they have a kid. There's no real training.
There's no guidebook. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes.
Yeah. That's true.
But then I remember hearing that you said a dog would be... a good way to ease the transition.
Yeah, because it teaches you a little bit about, responsibility and being there. It's not all about you. You have to be home. You have to figure out who's going to take care of the dog when you're gone. Stuff like that.
Okay, fancy.
Yeah, it's good training. I pretty much, anything I did with the dog, I do with the kid.
Really?
For the most part.
Like walking and have him go in the yard?
I get her. She needs her exercise. It makes her sleep better.
So you put a leash on her and just have her pee in the tree?
No, we're working on the peeing.
Okay.
That's actually been harder than That's with advanced. The dog, unfortunately.
That's advanced.
It's apparently not okay to put your kid in a crate.
What?
Like, it is okay to put your dog in a crate to teach them how to go in the proper place.
That is bananas. Actually, no, I did hear on the news, speaking of kids in a crate, like, some parents did do that. They put their kid in a crate somewhere.
What?
In Pennsylvania. Like, I remember, I heard a story somewhere. It was something, like, somewhere in Pennsylvania where they had it was a parent, a kid, and a dog. And the dog was in the crate, but the dog kept crying and whimpering. And the parents didn't like that, so they took the dog out and put the kid in the crate for some reason. In the cage.
Why did the kid have to? Oh, to show the dog that look at the kid. The kid doesn't mind being in there.
I don't know if that's. I didn't read the whole thing. I just saw they put a kid in the cage.
You should have read it. Something's a little weird.
Well,
you're making judgments.
I don't read.
It's not responsible reading.
Well, I read from what I read. Like, they put the kid in the cage and they drove off. And of course, people driving on the road, they saw a kid in a cage, and they're like,
maybe the kid wanted, because you know what? I had a little crate, a cute little pink crate for my friend, ex-boss, whatever he was. Mm-hmm. I was watching his dog, and my kid went right in there, closed the door.
Right.
Dog was on the outside looking at her, and she loved it in there. She played. She had fun.
Okay. Well.
Was I forcing her in there? No.
No.
Did I torture her? No. Was she crying? No.
Okay, well...
Did I let her out? No.
You seem to have all of these answers just at the ready for when the cops come in.
For interrogations.
When the cops come in and bust in on your
I even have pictures of her in this
Your
crate.
Cage baby ring, I feel like.
Cage baby ring?
Baby cage ring. Yeah, like,
Like, I have tons of babies in cages.
Do you have... All right. Do you have babies cage fighting at your home? All right. This whole podcast is a ruse to get you to admit that you have baby fights.
I'm just going
to
tell you, I have a backyard. And my kid is in training. Okay? Low on the carbs, high on the protein.
Okay.
That's what we do. No more questions.
You heard it here first, people. Julie Katakis has a baby fighting cage fight match in the backyard.
The rules are there are no rules. Except don't talk about it.
Yeah, which we kind of did just now.
Which so we I guess just we can... broke
up. Yeah, I guess we fucked that up. Well.
Thanks a lot.
Say lovey.
There
right.
goes the bet this weekend.
There goes that.
There goes my rent also. Thank you for that.
Sorry about that. Well, we'll do a Kickstarter or something. We'll think about it.
Oh, yes. Kickstarters are great.
Yeah, I know. Kickstarter. But that's another thing with babies is, like, I've noticed that in Brooklyn, where you are at.
I live there.
Yeah. That's why I said that's where you're at.
Yeah. Well, not right now.
Well, not now, but
at this moment.
Where you reside.
Where I reside, my domicile.
Your domicile.
I'm domiciled in Brooklyn.
Yeah, like they say, like, a lot of people, there's a thing, especially in Park Slope, where parents take their babies to bars.
Mm-hmm.
What is that all about? And can you please
Okay,
get
Darren,
them,
let me ask you this.
Can you get them to stop that?
So you think just because I'm a parent that I can't drink in a bar?
You can, but just when the baby's there, it's
what
it
is that
gets
a problem?
A little odd.
Why is that? Well, because how about the guy at the end of the bar who's crying and talking about, look at me, I'm so sad, my left leg doesn't work anymore, give me more drinks.
Well, sadness
like
belongs.
Slobbering. That's okay. Oh, he just peed himself. Isn't that funny? Look
that
at the
belongs in a bar.
But then the baby who's peeing herself and crying, that's not okay. All right.
It's not look, fair. Male sadness belongs in a bar. All right? The two go hand in hand, like peanut butter and jelly. That's just how it is.
Mm-hmm.
Baby crying... That interrupts.
Okay.
That's disruptive.
Okay, here's my stance on baby bars. Baby barring it. Baby bar hopping. Actually, I think you do have to baby bar hop because you don't want to annoy people for too long.
Yeah.
I've only done it maybe twice, I think.
You did do it.
Once with you to film something, if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
Because I needed her in the video.
All right, well, yeah.
And it was empty. We went during a very slow time and there was another baby there.
Okay.
Okay. And then I did it recently again, but it was also a restaurant thing.
I mean, restaurants are
and a so it's totally acceptable. But I do feel that happened to be in Park Slope. I do think in Park Slope it is sort of okay to be going, you know, baby bar hopping. And part of me is like, eh, they don't belong there. But then part of me is like, eh, you know, if a lot of people are doing it and it's kind of a thing, there could be like baby bar hopping
out. If everybody jumped off the Brooklyn Bridge, would you do so too?
What the I feel hell like I made that? A really strong you point. You should there. Not be a father because that first was.
I couldn't feel understand like that was a strong you. Argument, people.
And that's such a bad argument.
That was.
Nobody likes that
argument. I was on my Law and Order hustle right there.
It doesn't work.
I really. That was me.
They do that have was, like baby bar hours, though. Like, I felt like
Tom Cruise
and,
in the movie where he's a lawyer.
It's bad.
The movie Few Good Men. There we go.
Okay.
Boom. Nailed it.
Yeah, you really got me.
But yeah, so about baby bar. I didn't mean to lawyer you down with my.
I generally my keen just sense. Tend to drink at home, behind closed doors, alone at night.
Amen.
When she's already in bed.
That's how the good Lord wanted it. That's how it should be done. Thank you.
In the dark.
In the dark. Thank you.
Crying.
Thank you.
With Adele playing in the background. With Adele playing. And a picture of me when I was young and single and free. Like you.
That's another thing about this podcast. I may break out into song every now and then because I'm a bit.
Well, we're going to do a duet almost every podcast from here on out.
Did we agree on that?
I did.
I think,
we, whatever.
I'll do it, but you know, we have will. To. We'll trade off some song to song. So we'll choose one
enough.
Of my songs, which is probably a lot better than your song. Mm. And then we'll sing what you.
I don't know about that.
We'll sing whatever Z100.
We're not broken, just bad.
Exactly. There we go. There it is. There it is. Well, there it is. we'll just do that.
Pink and somebody. I don't know.
You don't even know who it is.
I thought it was Enrique Iglesias, but I think I'm wrong.
No, he makes like dance hits now, doesn't he?
I don't know. He's all I don't about, keep like, up the... with Enrique.
I mean, I'm not. I don't follow him on Twitter or
you
Facebook.
You dance with his dance I hits. Do... Who says dance hits? Do you go to a discotheque, Terry?
Yes, I do. Back in my single days, I went to discotheques and,
oh, your single days.
And grooved out to the latest dance hits of that time.
Wishing it were Enrique.
Yeah, well.
He was more of a love song guy before, I think.
Oh, he had Rhythm Divine. That song was amazing.
Look at you. You know you're Enrique.
I know a few. All right, I know that because there was like, back in my single days, there was a girl and... college who was a huge Enrique Iglesias fan, so I had to listen to her.
So you're one of those guys that did whatever the girl was like, oh yeah, I love Enrique.
Yeah,
too.
I was like, whatever,
and
baby,
sang
yeah.
Along and did the whole
whatever, toots, whatever.
I'll cry too with you.
Yeah, yeah, he's what's amazing. Take your pants off. Maybe I didn't.
No, you would take your own pants off.
I would take, and hoping she would follow
you're like,
suit.
When I cry, I have to be declothed. I need to disrobe from the waist down when I cry. Let's cry together.
Makes me feel close and at one with my sadness when I take off my drawers.
It does make things more sad when your drawers are off
yeah,
and you're crying.
I get a lot of that.
Crying drawers off is really...
It's hot.
That's sad. That's
oh, wow. What? Oh, did you say something?
No.
Oh, that must have been me.
Yeah. Anyway, do you have any other parenting questions so you can make a good decision about this?
Parenting questions. Let me think. Well, no, I guess. No, I mean, I guess it's money and I guess time. It takes a lot of time, too. You
it's pretty time consuming.
You got to, like, schedule your whole schedule.
Your whole life, yeah. It's a lot of smart scheduling.
Smart scheduling.
If you're not good at time management, then don't bother.
I am not.
Then you shouldn't. You're never going to be able to do anything. It's all about organization and time management and multitasking.
Okay.
That's the three skills you need. Throw a little bit of love in there and you've got a kid.
I can do the love thing. That I can do. But, well, give me an example. Like, how do you mean? Like, you just have
to... I mean, you can't do anything unless somebody's there watching it. Well, you've got the wife there. See, I'm all alone, Darren. I've got no one.
I feel like when you said it. You should have said baby.
Gift. I said gift, not it. I said gift.
I think you said
it. I'm pretty sure I said gift.
I think you referred to your child.
Her nickname is
as
gift.
That's the same thing the Addams family call that hairy thing. Cousin.
Oh, she's hairy. But I call her my gift. And I said, you know, you can't just leave gift. You can't just leave gift.
You can't spell gift without it.
Exactly.
All right, I'll let you go off on that.
Anyway. Yeah, I mean, it's always, like, pre-planning. You can't just, like, go somewhere.
Mm. I see what you're saying.
Like, some... Once, a guy... This is too funny to me.
This one of your gentlemen callers? I don't mean it's like make it sound like, you know, like that.
He didn't reach the status of gentleman caller.
Oh.
But he was attempting to be a gentleman caller. And this is before I was ready to even have gentleman callers.
Okay.
But he texted me, because they don't call anymore. They're gentleman texters now. It's really just all texting.
They texted test the waters before they dive into the pool.
Text the waters, yeah.
Text the waters. Oh, how is that?
I'm good. Oh, I'm a wordsmith. So, anyway, this gentleman texter, he texted me, I'd say it was 7:38 at night.
Okay.
And he knows I'm a single mother with a child. And totally single. No dad here.
Okay.
And said, hey, wanna hang out?
Is that how you read his text?
I think that's how it sounded.
Wanna hang out?
It's like, wow, somebody's clueless.
Wow. And
I'm just like, yeah, can't do that. I have a whole baby situation on my hands. I need some, you know, pre-game.
Yeah, you can't just hop out, leave willy-nilly. You need to plan that.
I can't be like, oh, sure, she'll be fine. And I'm not bringing her along. That would be weird.
That, yeah.
I can't leave her in the car forever.
You can't. Can't do that anymore.
By law.
That's right. Thanks a lot, Obama. I don't know. But.
Obama.
Right? Am I right, people?
Am I right? Yeah, so that kind of stuff is really weird to me when people don't get that much. Like, oh, I need to ask at least a day ahead of time.
So a lot of people just don't get that.
No, they don't. It's funny.
Well, so, I mean, with you in dating, has it been like that a lot? Like a lot of difficulties or...
It just is a little bit harder because I can't, you know, I don't have a ton of time. My time is precious. So I don't just date anyone. Okay. And I double schedule things. If I have like a show, I'll be like, hey, want to hang out that night?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
And then
I'm a great date because if I go hang out, I'm like, gotta go. Can't do a lot of hanging out.
Cool.
Time to leave now.
Yeah, I know. It's like when after the Gotham show, like, yeah, and... The day of your birthday, the Gotham show.
The day of my birth.
Hung out afterward. That was really cool and fun.
It was a good time.
It was good times.
Yeah.
Good fun. So another question I have. Do you only date lawyers or, I mean, because you both have, you have the law thing and the comedy.
I don't think I've ever dated a lawyer.
Because you just know too much about that world not to,
like, no, you know how they know are why. At work?
Or it just never happened?
It hasn't happened.
So you would be open to it?
I'm not against it.
Okay. All right. I'm just saying.
Yeah, whatever. Okay. Whoever's willing.
Okay. What about... come and get it, boys. Just...
whoever will deal with it.
Whoever wants it. It's a... I don't even want to say I was going to think. All right. So about... And comedians... Because I've heard a lot of people say, like, when you date comics, it's kind of... It's a little dicey because...
Why?
Well, just because the comedians are kind of, you know, they're in their own head a little bit. And, like, if you date the wrong comic, they're kind of messed up. I mean, a lot of people say...
I mean, I wouldn't be attracted to that kind of guy, I don't think.
Okay. I mean, a lot of people say comics, like, they tell jokes because they have something wrong with them.
You know what I think it is? I don't think it's necessarily that. I actually don't... I don't buy that.
Really?
I think that is true of some people, but I think what that person... has in common with other comics who are not like that, which I've met several of them. They're self-aware. It's an issue of self-awareness. So people that are really self-aware, you can talk about these things because you're aware of what you're doing. Then other people are like, oh, I get that. That's funny. Because I don't think I have any serious issues. I have challenges in life like anybody.
Yeah.
And I'm aware of it and I talk about it. And that's what's relatable.
Yeah, I mean, you seem pretty, like, you know, straight-laced and got all your stuff together. And I noticed that, that was a compliment. Come on.
I made a smug face. That was my smug expression.
I should have picked up on that.
Yeah.
That's me.
You're not a good read.
My mistake. But yeah, like, a lot of people say that when, like, comedians, they get into it because there's, you know, something wrong with them. Or just, like, they're looking for something.
Sure,
so, like, whenever you meet a comedian who is, like, pretty well-adjusted... Like, people say, oh, they must got something.
I mean, everybody has something, though, I guess.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a little story, you could say.
Everybody's got a little
But it's
story.
How they deal with it. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to date a dude that's, like, doing drugs.
Like
heroin.
Heron?
I don't want to date someone who's tweaking.
Isn't that a type of bird?
I don't date tweakers.
You don't date a tweaker?
No. No.
You know, somebody's like, as they're shooting up as...
I try to stay right away before. From that. Yeah. Cool. Although they might like me better.
They might.
Less aware.
Have you tried to pick up men at the methadone clinic? Let's get into it.
So far, nothing but rejection.
Really?
Because they're at the clinic. Afterwards, it's much easier. When I'm selling it to them.
It's like, hey, babe.
I'm like, you don't have money? I know what you could do. Go on a date with me. Please. Just say you love me. That's what I'm going to start doing. I'm going to start selling drugs.
Yeah.
And instead of like having them do, you know, sexual acts for the drugs when they're really hooked, yeah. I'm just going to say, just say you love me. Just say you love me. That's what I'll ask.
And then you shake them away because they probably passed out after.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh yeah, I love you.
And they usually overdose right after that. It's like, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. I feel gross.
It's a good dating tip.
That's really smart. I'm going
to
start.
All you single fellas and gals out there, start heading off to the methadone clinic. Meet yourself that special someone.
There you go. This is great advice. You
know, they could be a methadone drug away.
Actually, speaking of comedians and dating them, that's an interesting thing because you kind of want to stay away from that because it's sort of like dating on the job.
Yeah,
but the struggle that I have with this, because I meet a lot of comedians and I actually get hit on by a lot of comedians.
Oh.
I wouldn't date anyone in my circle of comedians, maybe outside of the circle I don't see. But the struggle is when somebody's really funny and you have good funny banter, that's attractive.
Yeah.
So I'm attracted to a lot of comedians.
But you.
But wouldn't. Luckily, most of them are not, you know.
What are you gonna say?
Physically attractive.
Oh, I see. There we go. They're not here. You can just say it.
I felt bad saying that. I don't know.
No, just, you don't know. Who, they don't know you're talking about them.
That's true.
Unless you're saying.
Unless I've rejected them.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well, no, I haven't. Not, I don't reject.
I
people.
Did not think that far.
I've never rejected anyone.
Oh wow.
Oh wow.
Everyone gets accepted in my
everyone.
Bring
again,
it on in, boys.
Anyone who's willing. So that's just, that.
Just bring her on in, boys. Bring her on. Okay.
But dating, cool. I just really started dating and I'm making it work, but it's not like I have a ton of time to spend. But there's good and bad to that.
Okay.
You're not together all the time, so it just moves at a slower pace, which is okay.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
No more choosy.
No. What do you mean, no more choosy?
I'm more choosy because I'm not going to, you know, pay to hang out with
no
somebody.
No more choosy. I was like, what?
No more choosy.
just give me what you got. But yeah, like, I mean, I guess that's another thing, too. Like, you can't, you're not, I guess in a way, you're not dating just for yourself now. You're dating for...
I've got someone else to think
you
about,
you got someone
Darren.
Else to think about. You got, you know, cat and a dog. And
You gotta, is he going to get along with the dog?
Is he allergic to cats?
Is he allergic to cats?
Does he hate dogs? Or small children? And like, you have to take all that into account when you're really, you know,
it's a lot.
A mate, as they say.
Yeah. So right now I'm just enjoying myself.
Just enjoy
having
life.
Fun.
Living
out
your
there.
Life. Yeah.
Caging them up.
I don't even know what to say about that.
Getting them tweaked.
Just getting them
caging them up and then releasing them when I'm finished.
Do you have a basement full of caged up methadone?
Yes. I mean,
clinic?
No.
Yeah.
I own a methadone clinic.
Oh, is that yours?
That's mine.
Wow.
I call it my...
It's a good investment.
My love nest.
So if anybody's looking to get off the meth, go on down to Julie's love nest.
I'm okay with little teeth or... And very bad skin problems, apparently.
Little teeth, no teeth, bad
whatever.
Skin.
Whatever.
You know, whatever. It's good. It's cool. If you got bad skin, that's fine. Just, you know, exfoliate that shit right off and...
Just be willing.
Yeah. Just come on down.
Come on down.
Swing on back.
To the sex cave. The Julie Shockers.
Oh my God. That reminds me of the Westchester County Fair thing.
Free food.
Rides and attractions. Non-stop action. That's a local joke for all you local people out there.
Mm.
See how I do that?
Yeah, you're good.
See, I keep it down.
It's clever.
Okay, so we're coming down to the closing minutes of our love little podcast here. So I figured for a good way to close it out is we'd have five questions where I ask Julie five questions and she asks me five questions, and we work on our interviewing skills this way, and learn a little bit about each other in the process. Mm. So there we go, right?
This is sweet.
I know. It's so amazing.
It's intimate.
It is. It's like a little thing. It's so sweet. All right.
So I was trying to, I took this very, very seriously. And I wanted to ask you some really probing questions.
You were giggling a lot.
No,
when
I'm not. I'm giddy.
You kind of were.
I'm and giddy.
You were giddy with something.
No, I am giddy to learn about you.
giddy about knowledge.
But I wanted to gently bring up some things that may be, you know.
I'm afraid.
These are really deep questions, and I just want you to answer them honestly.
Okay.
How do you know that you are black?
Well, I have no money. And so that's one. I have way too many sneakers. That's two. And I can't afford a cab, so I take the subway.
Oh, wow.
Boom.
That's
done.
Good. No, see, you know what was bad? What? You would have said, a black person would have said, cabs do not stop for me.
Yes,
but what do you say? I choose to be frugal.
No, as I said before, I have no money, so I can't afford a cab in the first place.
All right.
So I just know, I can't afford this cab. So
fine, Darren. Fine.
Down to the L train I go.
Okay.
Here, people didn't know I'm a black guy. I don't know if that came across.
I don't think it came across yet, so this is all new. This is like the surprise.
I feel like, yeah, this is
surprise ending, everybody.
This is a Shyamalan twist.
Yeah.
Of this podcast.
Now, do other people know that you're black? And that's kind of what we were just talking about.
I mean, like when they meet me, I think that's a giveaway. I hate to think. Did you know when we met?
I'm still not sure.
I am. I swear it, I am.
All right. Now, serious question. Do you wish you were black?
I see a theme.
I'm going to stop there. No, I have some serious questions. Come on.
No, you don't.
Those were jokes.
No, you don't.
All right. Serious.
You're making a mockery of the five questions.
Serious question.
Fine, go.
Why do you look up to me?
Oh, son of a. I don't know.
No, serious question.
You can say that and you don't have a serious question. You're just like pulling away the football as I run to kick it.
No, this is a serious comedy question.
It's not. All right.
What joke?
All right, fine. I apologize for this buffoonery.
No. What joke is your favorite joke of mine?
There we go. All right. I'll answer that one honestly. I do like the one, the orgasm joke. It's funny.
The orgasm joke.
We say that's an orgasm.
Oh, yeah? Really?
Yeah,
that's an old
like that
joke.
One. I mean, it's a quick joke. But it's
I have a lot of quick jokes. No, here's a serious question.
You're cracking yourself up, though. Aren't
you? I am dying over here.
I enjoy that you're amusing yourself.
This is my favorite
and
joke.
Not our listeners, millions and millions of listeners out there.
No, here's an actual serious comedy question.
Yes.
What kind of comedian do you want to be?
All right.
That's deep.
Damn, homie.
See, I'm not all superficial. I'm not all frills and whistles and sugar.
Frills and whistles?
Sugar plums. I got
nips. I like that. All right. I mean, well, growing up, I always saw... I mean, I saw like a lot of comedians that I didn't want to be. I remember when I was a kid, like, I see like all these black comedians, and they wouldn't be funny as much as they would be loud.
Okay.
I thought, you know, they'd be like, you know, white people crazy. Yo, white people, crazy! And that would be the joke. And like, I'd be like, what the
That's
fuck?
That's so funny.
And that would be it. I was like, what is that about?
I'm laughing.
And it's like that. Like, so when I grew up, I remember listening to comedians like Eddie Murphy was like the first one that had like a real impact on me. Like when I listened to like Delirious and stuff. And that's when I was like, I really got into comedy from that. And then I got older and I started listening to like a lot of other stuff. Like Robert Townsend. I was into Sinbad for like a while.
Ah, Sinbad.
Sinbad's good stuff. And then like I branched out. I like Dennis Miller's like early stuff before he turned all Republican-y. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, Jon Stewart and stuff. So I would think like the two comedians I would like to try to get close to are two comedians I've never seen, but I wish I did. Were Greg Giraldo and Patrice O'Neill. Like, I think those are like the best to do it.
I love Patrice O'Neill.
Yeah, he is amazing. Like, I wish I'd seen him, but I never did. But mm-hmm. I want to be something like that. Like, maybe Bill Burr is another one who I think is amazing. Dave Attell. Who else? Patton Oswalt, like something among that thing where I could tell like smart jokes, but they're not overly smart, and but they're not like dumbed down.
Yeah.
Something like that.
So I actually have questions which stem from this.
Yeah.
One is, what's your own favorite joke?
That you've written? Favorite joke?
Because I think it says a lot about a person's, I don't know, comedy when they, their own favorite joke.
I really like, I have this one joke, the Kanye West joke I wrote. It's like the last joke I always usually do where.
The gentleman joke.
The what?
Is it 50 Cent or something?
Yeah, yeah, the 50 Cent where I talk.
It's a good one.
Yeah, yeah, that's my favorite one. Basically, like, quick rundown, it's basically where, I talk about how I like Kanye West. I think he's amazing. And a friend, I was talking to him to a friend of mine, and she was saying, well, I like him, but he's like very rude and he's very arrogant. And then I sort of go off and say all these other things about all these other rappers and all the stuff they were in, like, you know, Biggie and Jay-Z sell drugs and Tupac and gangs and Snoop and pimps. And like, all, if you're okay with all that other stuff and all those other rappers, you should be okay with a guy who's just, you know, not impolite. I remember when I wrote that, I was like, oh, that seems like a real joke, like something a real comedian would say, not just somebody like me who's just been doing it for like a year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's like one of the jokes I was like really proud of. Mm-hmm. And I remember there was that other joke I have where it doesn't really have a punchline, where I say, what do I say? I like the process of writing jokes, but I have no way to end it. And I'll think of all these fantastical ways to start a joke, but I'll have no way to close it. And then I sort of just taper out and don't say anything. Because, I don't know. When I first wrote that, I was like, I don't know if people are going to get that. Because if it's like one of those things where I don't say anything for a couple of minutes. And like I have to sort of let the silence be there.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't get it, it's going to be a long silence. And just like me being all awkward and sweaty. But like luckily, everybody always gets that joke and people always laugh, so.
Good.
That's one of my favorite jokes.
Yeah. What do you think, have you been hip to the whole controversy on rape jokes? Have you seen a lot of that on the Twitter and the Facebooks?
Yeah, I have.
How do you feel about comedians kind of making fun of whatever they want to make fun of, regardless of the offensiveness?
I mean, I guess I'm of the thought that, I mean, anything could be made funny, like, you know, race, sexuality, but the joke has to be good. I mean, I feel I'm more offended when somebody says a joke about something like race or, you know, sexuality, and it's just like a lame joke or a weak joke, or they're just saying it to be shocking. I mean, you can usually tell when somebody's just saying something to get a rise out of people, and they didn't put too much thought in the joke as much thought as they did just, oh, this is gonna set the world on fire and everybody's gonna be tweeting me and I'll be on whatever. I mean, that's more offensive to me than anything else. Like, if you have a very good structured joke, I feel like you can make fun of anything. I mean, but at the same case, you have to understand that a lot of people don't find that funny, and you have to be okay with taking the blowback when it hits you.
Sure.
You have to be saying, all right, well, this is a joke that I'm saying. I believe it's a funny joke. I believe it's, you know, I'm not doing it just to get a rise out of people. I'll stand by this joke. It's a good joke. It's not just something I'm just...
Well, I think comedy's market-driven, though. If people aren't laughing, you're not going to keep saying it. If people are laughing, you're going to keep saying it.
Yeah, that's true, too. I mean, if
it's kind of simple in that sense.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, if people don't find it funny, then, you know, either you have to make a decision, like, well, maybe I should just take it out, or if you really believe in it, then you can maybe phrase it a different way, or...
Tweak it. See, that's the tweak I know. Not the drugs that you know.
I don't say... You keep saying it like...
Well,
I'm some type
you
of,
taught me that word.
I learned it from watching you. Bam.
Anyway, I'll stop there.
All right, but yeah, so that's my thoughts on it. Like,
guys, weren't those good questions?
Those were good questions.
They were like hardcore interview questions. Like, I could have a room and ask people questions.
I thought, good Lord, I thought, yeah, those were good. I just wrote down some nonsense.
Yes.
Barbara Walters.
But anyway, okay. Sorry, cool. Complete your sentence. I
interrupted. But yeah, that's it. Like, if the joke is good and you believe it's good and you're not, and you know in your heart it's not just something you're just throwing out there just to get a rise out of people, then just stand by the joke and say it.
Well, like Gilbert Gottfried said, you know, if the funniness outweighs the offensiveness, then it's a good joke.
Yeah.
That's all.
Absolutely.
That's all there is to it.
That. What I said wrapped in a small
little...
compact little Gilbert Gottfried nugget.
There we go.
Cool.
Maybe he didn't say that. I don't know.
Well,
I think he did. Somebody said it.
Somebody
had to do with when he got fired for saying something about
it. Oh, yeah. The, what was it, 9/11
I think
joke
he said it.
Or, yeah. Like a tsunami
joke. Yeah. Tsunami. What was nature offended? Come on.
Come on, people.
So sensitive.
Mother Nature's cool with that shit. Come on, baby. Okay. All right. So my five questions are... all right. I'll ask a simple one. When you get your first comedy special, which you will, what song do you want to come out to?
What song?
Yes. I have a feeling, it's not, don't say that song. You're
going to say that song. I know. Oh, see, I don't know. I want it to be crying. I want,
a
background sound of me, like, all the crying I've done in all my life, just like in one mix, like a mixtape of me crying.
So you want a mega mix?
A mega of crying tears. Mix of tears and, like, you know, you can just feel the pain, like feel the pain, and then I come out and I talk about the pain.
Nice.
That's what I want.
Oh, DJ, drop that beat, and it's just like you crying. I can see that.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
I like it too.
Have you ever been in a fight?
Like a fist fight?
Fist fight or or verbal?
Oh yeah.
Well, no, let's say fist fight. Fist fights are cool.
Fist fight. Mostly in elementary school.
Oh, really?
I got in lots of fist fights, and I beat up a couple of boys that people didn't like.
No.
And I was known for having beat them up, and nobody messed with me after that.
Really?
I am not kidding. And then later in life, when other people would try to start something with me, I had a way of... I didn't yell. I would I would stand up, and I would look at them, because they usually did this when I was sitting. And I would say, are you sure you want to do this? And they would always back down.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Why did you get... Why? What happened to you?
What happened to me?
I mean,
you can't see the toughness?
No.
Oh, my God.
I mean, no, just because you seem so nice.
I'm from the streets, Darren. I'm from the streets of York, PA.
York, PA, son?
I grew up in the hoods of York, Pennsylvania.
I actually grew up
in a very poor section of PA.
York, PA is?
Yes, it has a poor area.
I don't know anything about York, PA. I don't think anybody does. But I didn't know there was a ghetto.
A ghetto?
In ghetto.
I mean, it's poor sections.
You pronounce the H.
I do.
I didn't know it was like that in York, PA.
It wasn't rough. But I mean, just saying, like, I did get made fun of a lot because I was different. I wasn't, I dressed differently. I had piercings and I used to do all weird things with my hair. So
in elementary school?
No, that was different. Elementary school is different.
Oh, okay.
That was just fighting. But in high school, I got picked on a lot.
That was just beating people
and biting. There was biting and things going on. That's crazy.
I feel like we're scratching
I didn't put up with much in elementary school. But I didn't have to fist fight after that.
You don't take no lip.
I know how to talk them down.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like we're scratching the surface here.
Yeah.
I'm going to put a pin in this for the next podcast.
Okay.
I feel like we're going to come back to...
Everybody's going to want to come back to this.
I think so. I think the... So Julie Katakis, the formative years. Your so-called life years. That's where...
I
think we're going to get to the meat and potatoes of that right there.
The meat and potatoes.
Okay. All right. So what's the hardest you ever laughed?
The hardest I've ever laughed?
Any of the top 10.
I remember two movies that I laughed really hard at. I've laughed very hard at many things, so it's hard to pinpoint one.
Well, just choose one.
Can I pick two movies that I laughed a lot at?
Sure.
Like Borat, I laughed a lot at. Okay. And I laughed a lot at Old School. I remember laughing a lot at those movies. But there are other movies that I find very, very funny and maybe even funnier. Mm-hmm. But I just laughed hard at those movies for whatever reason.
All right. I can dig with that.
I laugh hard at my own jokes. When I tweet, I'm the only one laughing and I'm okay with that.
Whatever makes you happy.
Yeah.
Whatever gets you to sleep at night.
Thank you.
Roller coasters, good or bad?
Oh, good. I love roller coasters.
Okay. Because I know my wife, she's like a little iffy about that. I know some people are anti-roller coaster, and I don't understand those people.
No, I'm all about I like roller coasters.
Nice. The loop-de-loop and the wooden
all
ones.
Of it. I do it. I have no fear.
I go hard, son.
And I put the hands up and everything.
Nice. Do you have a favorite roller coaster or not really? The
scariest one, I think, is the one on Coney Island because it feels like it's going to fall apart at any moment.
That's more of a hazard, health hazard than an actual, because of the way it's built.
Yeah.
Thing. Construction, that's the word.
Right. It was frightening.
Okay.
Construction.
Is that
there are words that, like, mean all the sentences that you say.
Yeah, but then I don't get to talk as much.
Right.
And people don't get to hear my illustrious voice.
No, that's true.
So I would be depriving them.
Of them.
Of my musical lovely tone.
Okay.
And I don't want to do that.
No, you shouldn't.
The people deserve to hear.
They should,
The pipes.
The pipes.
The golden pipes.
The golden pipes.
Okay. All right, last question. So, who, in comedy, who do you sort of idolize?
So, I idolize different people, but I, of course, love Louis C.K. I do.
Okay.
He's great for so many reasons. I love Maria Bamford. She's so different.
Yeah, she's out there.
Yeah. I like a little bit of other people. Like, I like that Sarah Silverman's kind of, you know, offensive in her way and says whatever. But I don't think everything she says is funny, but I really like her.
I can see that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and like a lot of people say, she gets by on the baby voice and saying crazy crap.
Yeah. So there's some things I like that she says it, you know.
Right.
There's some things I really like. But then also it's kind of like, well, that's just weird and offensive. It's not much funniness attached. But, and who else do I like? I actually like Galifianakis. Not because he's Greek, but because he's like a character. I mean, they're all different.
Like Giannis Pappas?
Yeah, like Galifianakis is very, like he does this whole weird character, and I think that's fun to watch.
With Seth, his brother Seth character?
Yeah.
Okay.
I enjoy that kind of stuff. And there's like so many funny, great people.
Okay.
I like Patrice O'Neal a lot.
Oh, yeah, he was fucking,
yeah. Excuse
me. I mean, is there anyone that got you started? Into wanting to do stand-up?
No, that's not how I started. I only took a stand-up class at the Comic Strip Live with D.F. Swedler when I lived on the Upper East Side because I was like, oh, I want to just start writing funny stuff. I had no intentions of being a stand-up. I never wanted to do that. I was like, oh my God, that looks so hard. How do people do that? And so I started writing stuff, and then we had the graduation show, which I didn't want to do. I invited nobody to,
whoa.
But I did well, and I was like, I gotta do this again. And then I was like, now I have to invite people and do all those stupid bringer shows for like a year, and then some for certain things.
Bringer shows are the scourge of the comedy world.
Yeah, it's tough.
Gugh.
And then I kind of got hooked right away in doing it.
Yeah, I remember like after I saw you do it, then I was like, oh, maybe I should do this too. Like that kind of planted a seed in my head. It's like, oh, maybe I should do stand-up too.
And then, she can do it. Why shouldn't I do it too? Why should she get all the attention?
Well, I didn't say it like that. I was trying to be all nice about it. But
so I'm your inspiration.
If you want to be a dirtbag.
So then, when you talk one day, if you should ever be famous,
yeah,
your inspiration was me.
Not
these other famous people that you talk about.
I'm probably gonna give the credit to them, but just know in your heart that
I'm the one who got you doing it.
Yeah, just know that.
I'm the big thank you.
Yeah, I'll put you in the liner notes or something.
Oh.
You know, I'll send you a fruit basket.
Julian Kay. I don't even spell out my name. I don't know how to spell it. It's too long.
Thanks for all your help, Julie Kotakis. K-U-S.
Julie. Just Julie.
Kotakis.
K-U-S.
I'm sorry, my assistant does not spell your name. I apologize.
Nobody cares to look it up.
No one cares.
Can't find her on the internet. She's nobody.
She has no web presence, so whatever. Oh, okay. All right. So I think that's it. We're just going to wrap up here. So thank you guys for listening to us ramble and babble for about an hour. If you want to hit us up, we're both on Twitter, Julie K Comedy. That's it.
Yeah,
all right.
It's easy to spell. It doesn't have my last name in it.
That's right.
I think of the others.
And I'm Darren Credible at Darren Credible. Because, you know, I'm Darren and I'm pretty incredible. So it merges. Why do you laugh at that?
You do your high voice. In your head, you look up. You're like, I'm pretty incredible.
I'm pretty fabulous, guys. So, you know, that's how I do it. And, just follow us on Twitter and Facebook. And we'll probably put out when the next time we'll be doing shows and stuff. And, you know, it's a good way to keep in touch with us. And thank you very much for listening. And we're going to do this again soon. And adios.